Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Basically, I get asked this the other day, what does financial freedom mean? And, you know, you could take this from one extreme to the other. Let's stay on the low end side of it. How would you like to have a little bit more money in your life on a regular basis to allow you to have something you might want to have you can't afford now, or to do something you might want to do that you can't afford to do now? That's the low end side of it. The high end side of it, you know, all the way up to, okay, someday our goal is to replace our earned income with passive income, which today we're going to talk about, because that may not even be considered retirement anymore. There may not be retirement anymore. What am I talking about? Well, I saw this article. It's called The Gig Society / The Gig Workforce Society. And basically what it's come down to is people in our day and age, this day and age, many of them don't want to do the 9-to-5 for the same guy for the entire life. Most people nowadays have between 3 and 5 careers. And, or I don't know if that means, and I should have read deeper on that, but does that mean they work for 3 to 5 companies that all do the same thing? Or do they actually change careers? I think it's both. But people are not wanting to be tied down. And so I started thinking that through, and I thought, you know, okay, I get that from one time that went contract labor on an oil. She worked for a large oil company, and they told her if she quit that they would put her on contract labor. And she thought that was pretty cool. She would work projects. It'd be a project. You come in, you do your project. When the project is done, you're done. I mean, there's no long-term job, you know, security in this situation. But it gave you the freedom that, hey, she liked to travel. And so every time a job was done, she'd take off somewhere in the world and travel type deal. Good for her. Not good for me, because I'm not that, at that age, I was not able to travel all the time everywhere and didn't really want to. But the reality is there's a lot of people that do. And so I started looking at this thinking, okay, how does this fit in with what we do? And I thought, man, what a perfect match these two would be, right? What if you could have a whole setup of passive streams of income? You know, obviously we teach how to do real estate. But if you had this passive income that came in whether you worked or not, then if you worked, it was like the bonus. Now, reverse that psychologically, because that's really the way it is for me. I have all this income coming in from real estate investing that is regular, reoccurring income, supports me, don't need to worry if I work or not. But then if something comes up and I want to do it, I can add that on top, right? It becomes auxiliary income. And I could do it, get excited about it, and then be done with it and drop it. So I started thinking, man, maybe I'm in the gig society. I started looking at it going, you know, that really is kind of what we do, is we transition from having full-time job, go to work, ball and chain, drive for an hour each way, struggle, get to work, grind away for a day, you know, the grind, get done, get back in the car, drive for an hour in heavy traffic, get home. Don't get to see your kids grow up. You don't get to take your kids to school every day. You don't get to take your kids to baseball and football and softball and ballet and all the things you do, because you're grinding. You're grinding the stone every day. And when I started looking at this, I was thinking, maybe I just been talking about this in the wrong fashion. Maybe what financial freedom is the income availability to allow you to choose where and when you want to work. Now you've got two tools available to you. You've got your passive streams of income, and then you've got your gig society job or won't even call it a job. It's your gig. Hey, what am I going to do? Well, yeah, I got this gig I'm going to do. And I looked up, you know, what kind of things that people do for gigs. There's like driving services like Uber and Lyft, food delivery nowadays, that kind of stuff. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but man, this Uber driver just knocked this dude out. I mean, clean, clear, knocked him out. It was an illegal alien, so the guy's going to get sent out of the country, deported. Uber's going to get a massive lawsuit. I mean, it just flattened this dude, man. But, you know, gig society. That guy's gig is up, man. He's going away. They're kicking him out of the country. Creativity and professional services like freelancing, writing, graphic art design, web developers, tutoring, consulting. We've got many of those people working at our company. You know, we've got graphic design, we got web development, we got writers, we got all the kind of stuff to keep our service product available and working and up to date and so forth. So those kinds of people do exist. Manual labor, home service, handymen, house cleaning, pet sitting, even event setup. We've used events people before. So that kind of stuff's out there. There's all these different kinds of gig society, gig job type of jobs that are out there that you could do. So the real question comes to, wouldn't you like to have some passive income that is regular, reoccurring, and secures your sanity while you're not working? Wouldn't that be a nice thing? And that's really what we're here to do. In fact, I've been doing it for 35 years, and that's a good segue into this. We're having our 35th anniversary this September, and I'm going to be putting on a specialty class event. I don't want to call it really a party. I don't really want to call it a class. It's not really a class. It's an event that we're going to have where you can come and meet these successful people over the years and network. It's going to be September 4th in Houston, Texas, and you're going to want to come to that event. Also, then I'm teaching a two-day quick start class on Saturday and Sunday, the 6th and the 7th, in Houston again. And with wrapping into that, all sorts of people coming in to network and so forth, you're going to want to get to that. Now, if you're not a member, then you're going to want to get signed up. And I've created a really special price for you to get in because this is the 35th anniversary, and I do not want to lose you to another 6 years of listening to the radio show. So what you need to do is text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. And you're going to get a special you won't believe. You get $197 for a year's membership. And if you want to, you can sign up one additional person for a dollar more. So $198, you get two people for a year. This is 73% off the normal price, and it's available only. Well, it's not only that. I think if you call us up and came over, we'd give it to you. But if you want to get it easily, just text the word radio to 88007, 88007. And hey, I look forward to seeing you there. It's going to be a big event. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of information. It's going to be fun. Did I mention fun? Did I mention there's going to be a lot of people there? It's really going to be interesting. You're not going to want to miss this thing. This is in Houston, Texas. The one on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock at night, and we'll go till about 8, 8:30, and then we'll have dinner, go out for dinner and stuff. And then the one on Saturday and Sunday will be 8 till about 4, I think it is, each day. Yeah, on that, those two classes, 8 to 5, 8 to 4, something like that. Depends on how many questions we get, how long people want to talk, ask questions, and network and so forth. So, yeah, you want to get into that, text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007, and we'll get you in. Otherwise, we're going to come back here today, and we're going to talk about this gig society and what are the pros and what are the cons and how do you solve some of the challenges that get hung up with this gig society-type workload and approach to life. And really think about where do you and how do you replace income when you're not working? Or maybe you just have the money coming in all the time. That's the passive stream of income we're going to talk about because I think that's important. One of the first things that stuck out to me was as a gig society in almost every case, probably not every case, but in almost every case that I've seen, that I've looked up, you're an independent contractor. You work for yourself. Now, what does that mean? That means you pay both sides of Social Security and Medicare. So whereas if you work for somebody else, you're paying 7.5%. And if you work for yourself, you're paying both sides of the Social Security and Medicare, so it's 15%. So let's say that, you know, you're making enough to be in the 15% tax bracket, you're actually paying 30% taxes. If you're in the 30% tax bracket, you're actually paying 45% taxes. And you have to pay this in preemptively. You have to pay it in on a quarterly basis at least. Some gigs, they'll actually make you pay it in as you earn it. Not sure, get with your CPA on this. But, you know, I have all different kinds of businesses and everything, so I have to pay those self-employment taxes on the ones where I work in the business. Now, you know what my goal is? I don't work in any business. So because I don't work in the businesses, I own businesses, I have passive income, I don't have to pay those 15% Social Security and Medicare, except on the stuff where I pay myself as an employee. Like doing this radio show, I have to pay myself something to do the radio show. So I have to pay income taxes and Social Security and Medicare taxes on that because I am self-employed, basically. Right? So you, if that's all your money, if that's where you make the majority of your money, you're going to be paying quite a bit more for income taxes than if you worked for someone else. So the tax issue is something you're going to need to look at carefully if you're going to decide to go to the gig economy. Now, let's offset that with some real estate investing. If you do real estate investing correctly, and because you are in a gig society, you don't have a full-time job, you can literally work the qualifying number of hours in your business of real estate and be able to qualify to be a real estate professional. I think it's 740 hours a year. If you are participating 740 hours a year in either locating deals, evaluating, negotiating contract deals, rehabbing deals, financing deals, or if you're leasing deals up, if you're taking calls on maintenance and repairs, if you're out there looking at other deals, wanting to get new deals, if you're going to educational, whatever, if you're spending 740 hours a year inside of what the IRS considers part of working on your business and supposedly in your business, in that situation, then you can get some massive tax advantages. I mean, massive. In other words, all the excess losses that you incur from real estate can be used against any earned income you make. Ooh, that's pretty. Because then if you go out here and make some gig economy income and you have all these passive losses along with the income. Now, remember, in real estate, we earn income. And that income is covered by these depreciable depreciation, which covers the income from tax. In most cases, if you're not a real estate professional, you can only take just the amount that you've actually made in real estate. Some cases, you can take more. But the really big hurdle is being a real estate professional, which the gig economy allows you to be a real estate professional, which case you can take all the losses. Now, in that case, man, it can be major, major benefit. So by tying those two together, right, you can use the real estate investing as not only a common theme of income, not common, that's not what I think, reoccurring theme of income, reoccurring income, regular reoccurring income coming through all the time. You can use the tax advantages to get that income tax-free. But if you can work it to where the real estate investing aligns perfectly with the gig work, then, man, you can qualify to be a real estate professional also. And then you can use that those passive losses against your earned income. And that, my friends, you sit down and figure that one out. You come to this 2-day, you're going to want to come to this so I can teach you this. I'm going to teach you the numbers and how it's done so you'll understand it. But to do that, hey, invest $197 and get in here. Bring a friend. Make him pay half of it for you. Just text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007, and we'll get you in here and teach you how to do all this. I will be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we are discussing the gig economy, the gig society, the thought process of not working at the same job for the rest of your life and going from job to job to job. And as I read about this, I was writing down some of my questions. And one of the questions I had, and I tried to look it up with AI to see if there's actually an answer to it. And it's pretty funny. I asked, how do you retire if you work in the gig economy? And AI gave me this retort that just was like the least informative thing I've ever got from AI before. It said, you save money. What? You put it in a 401k, you put it in an IRA, and you see a financial planner. And I thought to myself, man, there is no help in that statement at all, is there? There really isn't, because it's the same thing. They're telling you, just like if you work a job the rest of your life and you work a gig the rest of your life, and really what it comes down to is, when I did a little more research, is that people are working much later in their life now. They're working in their 70s, some people into their 80s, believe it or not. Now, one thing, let's thank God that people are healthy enough to do that. I thank God every day that I feel great. At my age, I feel incredibly well. I work out every day, and I'm still physically fit as can be, knock on wood. But besides that fact, wouldn't you like to be able to use those extra living years to do something fun and exciting, to explore, and so forth? And the way it's set up now is that people just aren't doing that. They're working a while, they're traveling a while. You know, they work a while and they travel a while. They've kind of said, okay, which is really what I've always thought my whole life was: the youth is wasted on the youth. You don't know what you're doing. You're not very smart, at least not worldly, and you have no money. But you've got all kinds of time and energy and feel great. So the reverse thought in this gig society is, hey, let's work a while, play a while, work a while, play a while, work a while, play a while, and have a balanced life all the way up to the very end. And I thought, well, yeah, this is really a good idea. And I thought about, I retired at 34 years of age. But then I went back and started different companies and bought more real estate and tried doing larger deals and got involved in managing them and then moved on and sold those and bought ones I didn't have to manage. And, just you're out there. It's like I started thinking about, maybe I'm a gig guy, right? Maybe that's what I've been doing. I do a little this, a little that. Yeah, okay, let's move on, do something else. I don't, kind of deal. But the difference is that way back at 34 years of age, I had created enough passive income that if I never worked another day in my life, I could retire. I could know safely I could survive for the rest of my life. And over the years, I've developed more passive income. It's just a natural thing. Whether you work or whether you gig work, you make money. And once you get into the habit of saving a portion of everything you earn, then you get into the secondary habit of taking that and investing it wisely. And there's two parts to that, guys. There's a lot of people just save money, but that money never gets them anywhere. They wake up at 60 years of age and they've got some money in a 401k, but it's not enough to retire them. They've saved money. They've done what they were told to do. They put it in a 401k. They put it in an IRA. They put it in a SEP. They do whatever. All these, jump through all these hoops that these financial planners tell them to jump through, and they get to be 60, 70 years of age and they don't have enough money. Whereas at 34 years of age, after I retired, I had developed a standard of living. I maintained that standard of living in passive income. And just like when I had that standard of living, I had savings in that standard of living. So I always keep savings. I've had people ask me the other day, I was out to dinner. They go, why do you keep saving money? And at this point, I know it looks ridiculous to them. It makes no sense that when you have a lot of money, you would save money and put more money aside. So, what are you going to do with it? You're going to die. You're going to take it with you. You should spend it all. And that's just the perspective they have. My perspective is that's the way money works, is you take some portion of what you earn and you put it back into the machine. It's almost like keeping the machine oiled. And then you buy more and or sell something and buy more, but you keep growing your portfolio so that your quality of life could go up every year. And there's been times in my life along the way where I've just stopped myself and said, okay, Dell, you've increased your standard of living dollar-wise so much as far as income, there needs to be some corollary advancement in how you live. And I always looked at that from, okay, I lived in a 750 square foot condo. Then I lived in a 2,100 square foot home. Then I lived in a 3,000 square foot home. Then I lived in a 4,000 square foot home. Then I bought a 5,000 square foot home in a very expensive part of town, which is my first $1 million home. And then I bought a 16,000 square foot home with a 20 car garage and a gigantic backyard and swimming pool and fountains and the whole bit. Now it's like I live in a hotel. That was my expansion of cost of living. But it was nothing. It was a minuscule drop in how much my income had gone up. So what I'm saying to you is, if you work with this thing correctly, you can build your passive streams of income over here silently on the side, not even really paying attention to them. Do your gig, get out and have your fun, and you've got the best of all three worlds then, right? You've got some passive income, but you're building that passive income. You've got some gig income, but you're not nailed to that job. I mean, that's the best of both worlds right there. Now you can go and travel. But while you're traveling, you're still earning income. That's the beautiful thing. If you had passive streams of income, the gig economy thing is really a sweet deal. What the passive streams of income from real estate investing does, it protects you from the downside. It's, for example, one of the questions that I had about this when I was looking at gig society is, what about job security? What happens if there's just no job? You know, you're not there. They have no risk. You know, it's always like when they got employees, they don't want to lay them off. They hate that. But if you're not even there and you're contract labor, it's nothing for them to go, hey, you know, we got nothing going on this week, this month, this year. And if that happens, if the economy turns on end, there's a COVID, there's any other that you're done. It's over. There's no job security at all. Zero when you're in the gig economy, right? It's a fact that you're willing to show up, but if they don't need you, they don't want you, there's nothing there. That's where the passive streams of income kick in. You know you've got income coming in, and it's going to be coming in on a regular and reoccurring basis. And that, my friend, is what makes this whole thing safer. Nothing in life is completely safe, but it's safer if you know you have passive streams of income coming in. Job security is a fickle little thing, right? And, you know, there's the 80, 90, 100 percentile, 75 percentile brackets of people, and you fall into something. My dad used to tell me, if you just show up for work and do your job, you're as good as 75% of the people out there. But if you show up and do your job well, you're as good as 80% of the people there. If you actually show up, do your job well, and care and try hard, you're worth more than 90% of the people. You're the top 90th percentile. I said, well, Dad, how do I get to be from 90 to 100? He said, boy, you got to be born to be the 90 to 100. In other words, the guys at the top, they're just that much smarter than the average person. They know the topic that much better than the average person, and they're the best. So when it really gets cut down to where there's only a few jobs left over, do you fall in the 90? Do you fall in the 80? Do you fall in the 70? Because that's the way they're going to pick people up. They're going to say, hey, we don't need these people down here. They're not doing us any good. Especially if a company has to decide on, are we profitable enough? It's always easy to pick up not so qualified people to fill in the blanks on a company that's rocking and rolling. Really hard to slim your company down to just a few important individuals to run your whole company. They got to be good. You can't have the weak when you get to that kind of level, right? You've got to have the strong. And so, you know, you ask yourself, which one are you? So job security was one of them. The second one was, how do you grow? You know, you get hired to do X. Maybe you get pretty good at X, but you're X. You don't really ever get considered to move up in a company. You know, it's like when I was in the company, I started out at one level. did that level well. And they said, well, we have an opening over here. You seem to know your job and that job pretty well. Why don't we go ahead and see if you can do that job? And you move up. And again, the same thing happens. You do that for a while and you get good and you learn that job so well, you start telling the guy above you how to do his job. And pretty soon that guy's gone and you take his job. And so there's that upward mobility and growth because there's always that opportunity. You can take somebody else's job ahead of you. When you're in the gig society, I don't think that happens that way. It's kind of like you get plugged in as an X, and you are an X, and you stay an X, and there's really no growth. Now, that may be okay. You know what I mean? I'm an Uber driver. I do it when I need money. Okay, that's fine. You're not growing. There's no job description growth there. But then you better have something you can grow at, and that's where real estate investing was for me. When I retired, I was doing single-family houses. Eventually, I was doing duplexes and then fourplexes even. And eventually I got gutsy and I bought a small apartment complex, I think 10 units. Then I went crazy and bought 20. And then I started getting some guts and started feeling a little bravado and I bought a 30-unit apartment complex. And then I got even more bravado and I bought a 40. And it was funny, there's something different about 40 than 30. They ran completely differently. You had to have a staff, whereas with the 30, you could run it with one on-location part-time manager and one contract labor call for work maintenance guy. Once you got up to 40 units, you had to count in for full-time management, full-time maintenance. And I didn't understand that. I didn't know. I had nobody to teach me. And boy, that step was a tough one for me. I learned the hard way in that particular case. I didn't lose any money because I bought the property so cheap because I was willing to work so hard to cover up the lapse of my business design. I didn't lose any money. But I learned, and I never made that mistake again. From that point on, every property I had, 40 units or larger, I had to have a manager and a maintenance guy full-time. It just took me to know that, right? When you come to the two-day, I'm going to teach you that, and many, many other things that will save you from those little mistakes. So as you need to grow in this business, you can grow, and especially if you're in a group like ours, where everybody here has grown into successes, whatever level that made them comfortable. Some people doing just houses, some do small apartments, some do large apartments, some do multiple apartments. I talked to a guy the other day, had 22 apartment complexes, blew my mind. I didn't even realize he had that many, but that's how much he's done. So it's out there. You just need to learn how to do it. You want to get in here? I've got this anniversary event coming up, the 35th anniversary of Lifestyles Unlimited. I've got special prices, and I'm personally teaching classes. You don't want to miss out on this. This is a once-in-every-35-year event. Quite honestly, it is. You're going to get 35 years of history and experience as to what and how I've seen this business change and how you should make arrangements to be able to grow in it in this day and age. If you want to get in for an astronomically low price of only $197 for a year, and you'd like to add a friend for only a dollar more, that'd be $198 for two annual memberships. Now, remember, a membership at Lifestyles is husband and wife and kids 18 and younger. So it's two completely different memberships for $198. All you have to do is text the word radio to 88007. Yep, radio to 88007. And won't be long before you'll be screaming out loud, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great time. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.